You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Now, if I say to you, beware the Ides of March, what do you think about? Well, hopefully you think about Julius Caesar, a play that a lot of us read at school. We may have even seen a performance of it, but how can you enjoy a play like that and get all the nuances if you don't see very well? Well, that's where audio description comes in. And I'm joined now by our man in the stalls, Vidar Hjarding, who's an expert and a lover of audio description, aren't you?
Indeed I am, Simon, yes, and good to be with you again.
You went to see the Royal Shakespeare Company's version of this and a production of this, and they know how to do it, don't they?
They very much do, you're absolutely right. And this particular performance production is part of a season of what they're calling the Roman plays, of which there are four, Titus Andromachus being another one. There are a couple of others, which we'll hopefully talk about in future weeks. Julius Caesar, as you said, Simon, probably one of his best-known or Shakespeare's best-known works, and often it's one of those that is studied at school. It's a good one, actually, to do, and not least because, actually, I think it's a pretty straightforward story. And I guess what I always think about it, and perhaps it isn't something that you necessarily will pick up on as a teenager, but as you get older, I think hopefully it is something that resonates with you, is that although it was written, you know, in 1599, so centuries ago, it still has, I think, a real relevance to today. So, you know, the whole question of conspiracies and factionalism and power, and not least the power of oratory, actually, in sort of manipulating crowds and everything. All of those themes, I think, are just as relevant in the 21st century as they were in Shakespeare's time. So I think that's possibly why it still has quite an impact. And it's a story about, you know, Caesar who returns triumphant from the war against Pompey. But some of his senators think that he's getting a bit too big for his boots, I guess, is probably the way we would put it colloquially. And Gaius Cassius and Marcus Brutus decide that enough's enough, and they decide that the only way to deal with him is to assassinate him. And the story of the play is about Caesar's assassination, and then ultimately the assassination, or not the assassination actually, but the deaths of the conspirators. And it's, as I say, a story that I think is easy to follow. And it was an absorbing production, which is, as I say, part of this current season in Stratford, some of which I think is moving to London as well.
And was there a touch to it?
There was.
Yeah.
There was. So we, just again, in case anyone isn't familiar with how audio description works, very often an integral part of an audio described performance involves what is called a touch tour, as you've just said, Simon. And that normally takes place an hour and a half, a couple of hours before curtain up. And the idea of that is, with the assistance of the audio describers and usually a number of either volunteers and or front of house staff at the venue you're in, visually impaired patrons get the chance to go on set or behind the scenes to explore some of the costumes, some of the props and perhaps the set, and maybe even to talk to some of the cast who are kind enough to spare some time ahead of a matinee or an evening show. And really that's to give you, I suppose literally, give you a feel for some of the activity in terms of the set, the backdrop, the props and costumes. And it's a very good way of giving you that context. And yes, there was indeed a touch to us. So we were taken onto the main stage in the main theatre, which is where the play is being produced. And in fact, what was helpful, I had received the pre-show notes beforehand, which you can either, you know, obtain online or you get a CD, whatever your preferred format is. And it talks about the set. So I was aware that for this particular season of Roman plays, the Royal Shakespeare Theatre's main stage, which has quite a sort of bit sticking out, a thrust stage, as they call it, was a lot shorter than in previous productions. It talks about, you know, the diamond-shaped sort of tiles or stones on the floor, which are aiming to look at, you know, like Roman streets of the period. We also, you know, were expecting to see what effectively is like, you know, the colonnade associated with Rome at the time, and two big sections of that were there, with some steps leading up to a courtyard and a massive sort of sculpture with this lion sort of whose claws and teeth going into this the flank of a horse. All of that delivered in the pre-show notes, so you get an idea of that, and then you can obviously explore it close up during the touch tour, as well as the costumes. And the costumes, interestingly, were traditional to the period, so some might say that's quite brave for a director these days. Often people want to experiment with new interpretations and things, but for me, I'm a bit of a traditionalist, and I thought that was really effective. So, you know, togas and all the rest of it were being used for actual sort of garments during the action on stage.
And all that you've described there, between the touch tour and the pre-show notes, you would miss a lot of that, wouldn't you, if you went to the production without that?
You would. And I think, you know, look, for anyone who particularly is a lover of Shakespeare and his language, his texts, you can enjoy that in its own right. And fine, you know, that you can follow that. But if you are seeing something live on stage, whether it's Shakespeare or arguably anything else, it is good to, you know, get everything else that you can out of the production. So there are things that happen, actions on stage, facial expressions, whatever it might be, that, you know, if you didn't have audio description, you would not be aware of if you have some sort of sight loss or visual impairment. And that's where audio description, for me, you know, is a real win-win. And Ellie Packer and Carolyn Smith, who are the two describers on this occasion, skillfully weave their own text and their own commentary. They do it live, and obviously they do it in such a way that it does not clash with the on-stage Shakespearean dialogue, because that would be frustrating. And again, that's down to the professionalism, the work of the people who provide live audio description. They also talk a little bit about the characters, the costumes, and the pre-show notes. So you get a lowdown, a bit like reading your program, I guess, if you are a sighted member of the audience. You know who plays who and who the director is and all that sort of thing. Just useful background information, which by the time the play starts is hopefully given you enough to actually, you know, make you comfortable with what you're going to be spending the next, well, the best part of 3 hours watching and listening to.
Yeah, you've taken me back, I have to say, Vidar, because I loved Julius Caesar. I think I was a little bit reticent about Shakespeare when I was younger, and then you click into it, don't you? And it's a fantastic kind of snapshot of the human spirit, isn't it?
And I think that's right, and particularly a play like Julius Caesar. Another good one for people, I often think, to start with at school is A Midsummer Night's Dream. So if you're not a fan of history or battles, then Midsummer Night's Dream is a very pretty play, a nice story, and that's a good one as well, and easy to follow. But yeah, I hope that if people are able, you know, to enjoy Shakespeare, the work of the Bard, then they can actually, you know, enjoy them more if they get to Stratford. And occasionally they go on tour around the country, and the RSC has a season in Newcastle. It also has regular performances at the Barbican in London as well. So, you know, it's worth just keeping your eyes and ears open as to when they might be. But clearly Stratford is their main home, the Royal Shakespeare Company. And there are normally at least two audio-described performances, not exclusively, but very, very frequently, including a matinee and an evening show.
So if you're thinking about going to see something audio-described, you would go to the theatre and look for an access officer, wouldn't you?
I think you would. I think possibly I might even start even with a box office and just see what's coming up, if audio-description is part of their schedule, part of their programme. If it is, then you might want to know more about it by hearing from them or getting leaflets or being directed online or seeing if there's an audio brochure. And if there isn't, or indeed even if there is, you, as you say, Simon, might want to talk to an access officer or someone whose responsibility covers access. That's often somebody who's linked to the education department or maybe someone who's in the front of house team. Creative learning is often a department which covers that type of activity too. So it is worth, you know, getting in touch with them, not least if you don't think there's enough of what you would like to see, or, you know, if you just want to express a view, because they want to know, you know, what type of things they should be trying to audio describe. As I say, the RSC tend to do at least two audio descriptions of each production they do in Stratford, and I think certainly one of each in London, if not more. And they, I'm sure, like any other venue, welcome people's feedback so that, you know, that can help them to provide the gold star service that I guess any venue wants to actually offer.
So you need to check it out, and then you can decide whether it's to be or not to be.
I was waiting for. Very clever. And of course, I'm tempted to say then, since you've started on that theme, you know, don't worry if you have to sort of, you know, battle your way to talk to somebody to actually hear more about what you think. It won't be much ado about nothing.
Oh.
We stop there. Is that 15 all?
Vida Hjaring, always a pleasure to chat with you. And you bring audio description alive for us. Thank you for joining us. And we'll catch up with you very soon.
Great pleasure, Simon. And lovely to be able to share that with you and listeners once again.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio.